Hello, I'm Paul Grafe. This is number 0416, the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder, and it comes to you right now.
The following program is brought to you in living color.
Now, it's time for an eclectic mix of interviews and some of the oddest news stories you'll ever hear. It's the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder.
Hey there, hi there, ho there! Peter Anthony Holder here with you, and yes, this is indeed another edition of the Stuff File program, number 0416. And coming up on this edition of the Stuff File program, science writer Andrew Vazekas, the night sky guy, is back on the show. He talks about the upcoming solar eclipse. Why is it important scientifically?
It allows us to investigate the outer atmosphere of the sun, which is usually completely hidden from us. It's called the chromosphere, or the corona. And the corona of the sun, the temperatures are, we're talking over 1,000,000 degrees Fahrenheit. On the surface of the sun, however, it's only 600 degrees. So why is there such a difference? We don't really know. And so during a total eclipse of the sun, the outer atmosphere really pops into view.
Actor Reed Miller is a very busy teenager. He stars in a couple of web series, including one where he plays a high school version of Frank Underwood in Playhouse of Cards. Has he heard anything from the original show?
We did hear from one producer of the show, actually, on Twitter. He commented on Playhouse of Cards and was like, oh yeah, that's a great job. So that was pretty insane. And he was like one of the major producers, so that was pretty crazy. It was really fun to play that character. There's something about getting into the... One of the reasons I love acting is getting into the psyche of these characters that are probably nothing like you. So it was fun to get to play kind of a very calculated, villainous type character. So that was really fun.
Bob Perchetti is the owner of Nevada's Clown Motel. Why is he selling after 22 years?
I retired in August of 94. A year and a half later, I took the motel over, and I've been here ever since. The reason I decided to sell the motel is when I retired, I was 56, if I remember right, and I have just turned 79. And I have 5 daughters, 3 sons, and 14 grandchildren. So I thought, you know what, Bob, if you want to enjoy any of your life before you get too old and want to enjoy your grandkids, you better hang it up and have some more time on your hands to spend with them.
And there's lots and lots and lots of Stuff File news and, of course, an idiot of the day, the guest Slater. The person who told you this was show number 0416 was Paul Grafe, news director at K103 in Ganawage. Thank you very much, Paul, for doing the guest slate on this edition of the Stuff File program, a show that is listener-supported, fan-funded radio that depends on you for our success. Join us at patreon.com to help make this show an even bigger and better radio experience. And now, let's get right to the stuff, shall we? Okay. Before I actually get to the first story, I have to share an old adage that I'm sure many a parent, teacher, or clergyman shared with you in your formative years, something akin to the term, virtue is its own reward. I'm also guessing that this turn of phrase was something that was either never told to or accepted by Bryce Stephen Booz. Bryce is facing a felony charge after he allegedly punched and wiped feces on a car at a Great Falls dealership. Court documents state that an officer was sent to the dealership after a caller reported that Booz punched a car and then put his hands down his pants and smeared feces down the length of the car. The caller also reported that Booz was wearing a knife holster. After the officer stopped Booz near the intersection of 35th Street South and 8th Avenue South, Booz stated that the dealership should have given him money for returning keys that he found on the sidewalk. According to the documents, the officer put Booz into the patrol car and Booz began to hit his head against the patrol car window. To prevent damage to the patrol car, the officer told Booz he was under arrest and told him to get out of the car. Documents state that Booz refused to leave the car and tensed his body and legs so the officer had to pull him from the patrol car. The damage to the dealership car is estimated at over $1,500. Booz is charged with one felony count of criminal mischief and two misdemeanor counts of disorderly conduct and resisting arrest. Court documents show that Booz has criminal records from Washington, Minnesota, and California and was convicted for obstructing a peace officer in Missoula back in 2013. Please tell me that at some point, someone got him to wash his hands. He also needs a shower, or at the very least, a bidet. Yeah. A man who wanted to become a famous comedian thought it would be funny to rob a bank and give away the money while he was naked. However, the only thing 25-year-old Alexander Sperber became famous for is his arrest. Police in Florida were called to a bank in Fort Lauderdale after the young man came in, made a motion with his hand to indicate that he had a gun, and demanded money. The teller handed Sperber a bag of money that contained $4,700. As soon as he left, a bundle of red dye exploded, leaving stains on his clothes and left wrist. Sperber then removed all of his clothes and began running naked in the streets while throwing the money around. According to court documents, after his arrest, Sperber told FBI agents that he woke up in the morning and decided that he was going to rob a bank and run naked down the street while throwing the money to people in order to begin his career as a comedian. Sperber, who graduated from Lehigh University and is getting his master's degree at Florida Atlantic University, has no prior criminal history. He now faces 10 years in prison. How can someone with so much education be such a moron? And wouldn't it have been easier for him just to go down to a local comedy club for open mic night? Trust me, when one of his cellmates says to him, "What are you, some kind of comedian?" that's not going to be a compliment. And finally, in this section of Stuff File News, before we get to our first guest here on this edition of the Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder, a British pub has apologized for turning away a group of trainee priests after mistaking them for rowdy bachelor party revelers in costume. The Archdiocese of Cardiff said that seven Roman Catholic seminarians went to the City Arms in Cardiff, Wales last week to celebrate the ordination of one of the group. Father Michael Doyle said the clerics were turned away by a doorman who told them, "Sorry, gents, we have a policy of no fancy dress and no stag dues." Doyle said the group was reprieved when a bar manager realized the clergymen were real. They were allowed in and given a round of beer on the house. Assistant manager Matt Morgan said, "Thankfully, they were all great sports and saw the funny side of the situation." I guess that means that, in other words, they didn't look down at their own clothing and then yell, "What the frock?" Anyway, let's get to our first guest here on this edition of the Stuff All program, shall we? On Monday, August 21st, the sun will disappear across America. For a brief moment, day will turn to night, the sky will darken, and streetlights will go on. To see the total eclipse, you'll need to be inside the narrow swath, about 70 miles wide, of the moon's shadow. The path will stretch from the Oregon coast to the South Carolina coast, with 12 states in between. Nearly 12.2 million Americans live in the path of totality, but NASA predicts that millions more will visit on that day. Is it worth the trip? One person who is going to check it out is science writer Andrew Vizekas, the night sky guy. Andrew is a member of the Royal Astronomical Society of Canada and the author of Star Trek, The Official Guide to Our Universe, The True Science Behind the Starship Voyages. He joins us via Skype from right here in Montreal. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, Peter.
Always a pleasure to have you back on the program. Now, you, as I said, are going to see this on August 21st. Where exactly are you going to be?
I'm going to be on the beaches of South Carolina in the path of totality. So I'll be just probably north of Charleston. I've got a plan A and a plan B in case of traffic. So the idea is that my family and I am taking my children as well. It's such a big event that I want them to see it as well. It's a, you know, opportunity of a lifetime. And we're going to be on the beach, hopefully, seeing the total eclipse.
So obviously, I mean, you're a science writer. This is right in your wheelhouse. I said in the introduction, is it worth the trip? For you, obviously. For the general population, why do you feel it's worth the trip?
Well, it's one of those bucket list things, lifetime bucket list things of being able to see it. And you have to keep in mind that seeing a total eclipse is pretty rare. It's something that if I have personal friends who are eclipse chasers. And it's quite an effort to go see these things. You have to travel the world, in many cases, in very remote locations, islands and deserts and all kinds of very far off places to get to see these things. And this one just happens to be cutting right across the most populated continent. And it's literally in the backyard of hundreds of millions of people. In fact, people from all over the world are coming to see this eclipse because it's so conveniently located. The access points are so great. So this event really, I haven't seen a total eclipse in my entire life. I've seen partial solar eclipses, but totality, to see the entire disk of the sun disappear and then see the world, the environment around you change as well. What I have been told is that it just raises the hair on the back of your neck to experience that. It's very difficult for people to put into words, and they say you just have to experience it to understand what it's like.
And you know what's happening, so that's an interesting concept that it would do that to human beings who are aware of what's taking place. I understand it really flips out animals.
It does. There's a lot of interesting anecdotal evidence and about the effect of total eclipses, the darkness, the fleeting moments of darkness that occurs. We're talking only about a couple of minutes or so of darkness when the entire disk of the sun is hidden. At that point, many animals change their behavior. There have been examples of birds going to roost at that point. Pods of whales and dolphins coming to the surface while they're seemingly watching the eclipse at the time, and then once it goes, they go back underwater. Crickets start chirping as if it was night. Farm animals like cows, they would as soon as the eclipse begins, they go back to they trek back to the barn as if it was evening. So there's a lot of effects even in the wildlife. Temperatures drop locally. There's a significant drop, a cooling in the air. Winds cease at that time. There's a lot of interesting effects.
Now, as I mentioned in the introduction, NASA is predicting that millions will visit in that area for the day, so they're paying close attention to it. Astronomers are paying close attention to it. Outside of the gee whiz, golly, this is fantastic mindset of watching an actual totality when it comes to a solar eclipse, scientifically, what are we learning or what can we learn from experiencing this?
Well, again, it's interesting to see wildlife behavior here on the ground, understanding weather patterns better, how the physics of weather occurs. That's something that this temporary darkness that eclipses impart locally can create an interesting laboratory, an environmental laboratory here on Earth. When it comes to astronomical research, there as well, scientists and, as you mentioned, NASA is very interested in the eclipse because it allows us to investigate the outer atmosphere of the sun, which is usually completely hidden from us. We're unable to view it. It's a it's called the chromosphere or the corona of the of the sun. And the corona of the sun, the temperatures are, we're talking over a million degrees Fahrenheit. And on the surface of the sun, however, it, down below a few a few hundred thousand kilometers on the below the on the surface of the sun, it's only 600 degrees. So why is there such a difference? Why is the upper atmosphere of the sun so much hotter? We don't really know. We don't really have the physics to explain that. And so during a total eclipse of the sun, at that few moments, precious moments of totality, the outer atmosphere, the corona, really pops into view in a way that you cannot get in any other way to explore. Even satellites, the solar satellites that NASA sends up into space to study specifically the sun, are not able to investigate certain parts of that, of the outer atmosphere, the corona of the sun. So during totality, there is some science that can only be done from the ground, from observatories located on the surface of the Earth for those precious 2 minutes. And this can be done only on that path of totality, that 70-mile wide stretch across the U.S. continent. If there are observatories located along that stretch, those are the lucky ones that will be able to do that precious science for those few minutes.
Are there any in that 70-mile stretch?
There are. There's a lot of smaller observatories, none of the larger ones really, but there are a lot of smaller ones. And what's very interesting coming up to plate are amateur astronomers. There is a lot of citizen science that's going on with NASA, with universities, where regular folks like you and me who have the hobby of astronomy with their backyard telescopes are and photography equipment are going to be investigating the sun, taking part in a co-investigation with professional astronomers of investigating the corona, as I mentioned. So there's going to be some really interesting science. And all of this is possible because this path of totality is cutting across North America, such a populous country. United States is filled with amateur astronomers who have really amazing equipment. And so they don't have to go to some, you know, far off place like Easter Island that happened a couple of years ago. There was a totality. Only a handful of lucky folks could actually make the trek to Easter Island. And so here we're going to have thousands and thousands of amateur astronomers with really amazing equipment being able to do real science.
Okay, so you're one, or you and your family are one of millions to head to that area to see the totality of the lunar eclipse. Not to rain on your parade, but what if it rains on your parade? What if it's a cloudy day?
That is true. I do have a plan B in terms of being able to be mobile locally, very locally. I've chosen to go to South Carolina despite the statistics saying that there's a lot of pop-up showers and things like that. However, being on the beach, there's a lot of microclimate. So what statistics say, for me at least, is that there would be some clearing effects because of the beach environment as opposed to being inland. However, yes, I am aware that they could be clouded out, and that's why I'm kind of trying to chill with this experience and not get too involved with it, because I don't want to have that complete disappointment, be honest with you. I'm going there as a family vacation. We're going to have a great time on the beach. It's going to be, we're going to a wild wilderness sanctuary area, so it's going to be an awesome day at the beach, enjoying the sights. And we're crossing our fingers that we'll have at least partly clear skies. Now, if it is cloudy, because we're going to be under the path of totality, we might actually see the shadow creep across the cloud deck. That might be, and we will experience the darkness as well. Mm. But of course, really, the best experience is having clear sky. So we're just crossing our fingers. It's luck of the draw. Many eclipse chasers have missed out on eclipses because of the wet local weather. But that's beyond our power at this point, right, Peter?
Absolutely. Less than a minute. So I will ask you this. For those who aren't lucky enough like yourself to head into that 12-state area where people will be able to watch it, what do you suggest? What's out there? What websites... What information can people get that they can take part in this and watch it from the comfort of their own home?
Oh, definitely. So you could just go to NASA's website. NASA will all .gov will be streaming a lot of stuff. So they'll have links through there. Of course, folks can visit me at my Facebook page, The Night Sky Guy, on Facebook, and Twitter at The Night Sky Guy. I'll be placing all kinds of different links to streams that universities, museums, planetariums will be posting closer to that date. And of course, I encourage people who want to learn more about the basics of eclipses, what the science is, how to watch them, is to go to National Geographic. Graphic.com. We've put together basically a great landing page on everything you want to know about solar eclipses. I've written lots of articles about it and tells you all the basic know-how. And just one more thing, Peter, very important to tell people is that wherever you are in North America, Central America, or South America on August 21st, you'll see at least a partial solar eclipse. So you'll see part of the sun hidden by the moon. And just remember, to safely see it, you never look at the sun with an unaided eye without proper protection. You can damage your eyes. So using solar glasses is very important, safe solar glasses, and you can still order those from many different sources. One of them, for instance, being Astronomers Without Borders. They still have plenty in stock. Many places are running out, but AstronomersWithoutBorders.org also sells them and are donating the proceeds to do STEM education for underserved communities. So you can do some good as well.
Thank you very much, Andrew. You always end off the reports by saying clear skies. I wish you clear skies for the 21st of August.
Thank you so much, and I do wish all your audience clear skies as well. Bye-bye.
Andrew Fizakis, the Night Sky Guy, and the author of Star Trek, The Official Guide to Our Universe, The True Science Behind the Starship Voyages. You can check out his website at thenightskyguy.com, and you can go to my website at thestufffile.com, check out the show number for this program, which is show number 0416, and you'll find links to Andrew's site, also links to the sites Andrew mentioned, plus links to either Amazon.com or Amazon.ca, where you can order his book directly. You're listening to The Stuff File Program with me, Peter Anthony Holder.
The Stuff File Program is a listener-supported, fan-funded radio show that depends on you for our success. Join us at Patreon.com to help make this show an even bigger and better radio experience. Sign up and find out about our rewards program. Being a patron doesn't have to be a long-term commitment. There's absolutely no obligation. You could join today and end whenever you'd like. But the time we have your support would be so greatly appreciated. We'd also love to hear your thoughts about the show and even your ideas for rewards. Join us for the ride. Join us at patreon.com/thestufffileprogram. You're listening to The Stuff File Program with Peter Anthony Holder. In the interest of time, kindly hold your applause until the entire program is over.
And still to come on the program, we'll talk to actor Reed Miller. Plus, we'll meet the owner of the Clown Motel. And we also have an idiot of the day coming your way a little later on. Plus, much more Stuff File news here on a program that is listener-supported, fan-funded radio that depends on you for our success. Join us at patreon.com to help make this show an even bigger and better radio experience. Well, police in Fort Pierce, Florida, were doing an undercover sting operation trying to get prostitutes off the street. When a cop parked his car on the street, a woman got into his car and introduced herself as the Million Dollar Ho, though her price wasn't exactly that high. $40 and I'll give you everything you want, she told him. You're the first one today. Then, the officer says, she provided a free sample exposing herself to him. 49-year-old Deborah Toms was arrested. This is at least Toms' seventh prostitution-related arrest, police say. When she was arrested 4 months ago, they noted her quoted fee was only $20, which just goes to show you how businesses' legal fees really drive inflation. Police in Louisiana say they've arrested a man accused of hiding about 2 pounds of marijuana in cereal boxes to smuggle them across state lines. The St. Tammany Parish Sheriff's Highway Enforcement Unit said a rental car with California plates was pulled over for speeding on Interstate 12. The driver, Donald Roots Scott Jr., told deputies his license was expired and there was marijuana inside the vehicle. Deputies found about 2 pounds of marijuana hidden inside cereal boxes in the suspect's back seat. Roots Scott, who allegedly told deputies he was taking the high-grade cannabis to Mississippi for distribution, was arrested on charges of exceeding the maximum speed limit, driving with an expired license, and possession of Scheduled I controlled dangerous substances with intent to distribute. Wow. High-grade cannabis in cereal boxes. I can just hear the commercial now.
They're great!
Yeah. An Air India flight en route to Mumbai from Kolkata, India, had trouble mid-flight. The pilots noticed that despite having adequate fuel on board as they departed, it was being consumed so quickly that they clearly wouldn't make it to Kolkata. They also had trouble keeping the airspeed up of their brand new Airbus A320, about 300 knots versus the usual 500, and cruised at 24,000 feet instead of the usual 45,000 feet. When their fuel level became critical, the pilots decided to make an unscheduled stop for fuel in Nagpur. As they approached for landing, they reached to put down the landing gear and discovered that they had forgotten to retract it in the first place, which accounted for all of their troubles. The pilots have been de-rostered, that's fancy term for suspended, by Air India. Always use the checklist, chuckleheads. Always use the checklist. There are two people in the cockpit. One of them should be awake and paying attention. At least, that's all we ask. Still on the topic of flight, police in Swansea, Illinois, suspect the heir to a brewery fortune has graduated from drunk driving to flying high. August Adolphus Bush IV, who is 53, landed his helicopter around noon on July 10th in an office complex parking lot outside St. Louis. Police and FAA investigators were still trying to determine why he had landed there and whether any aviation laws had been broken when they were called back to the parking lot at around 8 p.m., where Bush, appearing to be intoxicated, was trying unsuccessfully to take off. Swansea police reported that Bush failed field sobriety tests but passed a breath test, and after they secured a warrant, Bush was taken to a local hospital for blood tests. Also found in the helicopter, 4 loaded guns, several prescription pill bottles, and 8 dogs. Well, wealth certainly has its privileges, doesn't it? And you often heard me say that everything happens at Walmart. Here's the latest exploit. 49-year-old Robert Caniff celebrated Independence Day in an unusual way. High on drugs, he was dropped off in his birthday suit at a Tempe, Arizona Walmart by 2 people who thought it would be funny to see him naked. There, he walked around the store wearing only shoes and carrying methamphetamines. Maricopa County Sheriff's officers caught up with him at around 10 p.m. across the street from the store. Okay, first of all, Robert needs a better class of friends. Second, you really shouldn't be naked at Walmart. I mean, if you were going to buy something, where would you keep your wallet? There are some unusual places to swipe your debit card, however. But I digress. And finally, in this section of Stuff File News, before we get to our next guest here on this edition of the Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder, authorities say a man has been charged with performing a lewd act on himself during a screening of the Emoji movie in New Jersey. Well, maybe he was a critic. Anyway, the Howell police detective said 43-year-old Abraham Parnes surrendered on Thursday after an anonymous tip following a surveillance image being published. Police say the dual resident of Lakewood and New York was charged with lewdness and was released. They say a woman had seen Parnes in the theater with his hands down his pants, which were unbuttoned and unzipped. The man was escorted out of the building, and the woman later called police. Okay, I'm sorry. If you get off on animated emojis on the big screen, you can't leave your house. And for the love of God, no texting. Yeah. Anyway, let's get to our next guest here on this edition of the Stuff File program, shall we? Actor Reed Miller is a very busy teenager. He is currently starring in Go 90's Play by Play, a coming-of-age comedy about an ESPN sportscaster who looks back on his life in the 90s and gives the play-by-play of his adolescence. He has also starred as a high school version of Frank Underwood in the online miniseries Play House of Cards, the web series, which is now available on YouTube. Reed joins us on the line right now. Hi, Reed.
Hi, how are you?
Just tickety-boo. Thanks very much for doing this.
Yeah, of course. Thank you so much for having me on here.
As I said, you are very busy these days. And now, you started, if I'm not mistaken, just by picking up a camera, which a lot of kids have done over the years, by picking up a camera and shooting stuff. How did that lead to where you are now?
Well, I originally started doing stop-motion videos because I've always known that I wanted to make movies, and I didn't know whether that was through acting or through directing. I didn't really know how I wanted to do it. I just knew I wanted to do it, and I just decided that, you know, you can't wait around for things to happen. So I just started making my own stuff, and that took the form of stop motion videos that were maybe not the best looking, but they were good for me at the time with what I had. And then I had an amazing opportunity to audition for The Arts, which is a talent showcase, a talent search, where they go around the country looking for actors, dancers, singers, and if you got what it takes, they bring you to Florida, and they show you some agents and managers, and, well, now here I am.
Now, as I said, you've been pretty busy. You've done shows like The Fosters. You've done Criminal Minds, Training Day, as I mentioned in the introduction, Go 90's Play by Play. Tell us about that.
Oh, man. Play by Play is it's definitely my the one I'm so incredibly proud of. Not that I'm not of my others, but this one is like my, it's like my baby, you know. It's so, like, I can relate to it so well, and I believe that a lot of people can relate to it. So, you know, it's such an honor to be able to play the lead and to be able to carry the show. And I also just finished shooting a feature film in Arkansas, called Freddy. It's a lot like E.T. If you like E.T., then you'll love the movie. And Play by Play, like both of these projects, I have to say, are probably my biggest so far and most successful. So I'm very excited.
I also mentioned in the introduction, you play a young high school version of Frank Underwood in the online miniseries Playhouse of Cards, the web series, which I find actually very well done and a very funny show. Have you heard from the folks at House of Cards? Have you heard from Kevin Spacey?
I wish. Well, okay, so we did hear from one producer of the show, actually, on Twitter, who he commented on Playhouse of Cards and was like, oh, yeah, that's a great job. So that was pretty insane. And he was, like, one of the major producers, so that was pretty crazy. No, it was really fun to play that character. There's something about getting into one of the reasons I love acting is getting into the psyche of these characters that are probably nothing like you. And so it was fun to get to play kind of a very calculated villainous type character. So that was really fun.
Did you watch a lot of House of Cards to get into that part?
Absolutely. I totally did. I had been meaning to watch it anyway. You know, I had been so busy, I didn't really have time to, but once I started working on Playhouse of Cards, I knew that I needed to watch the show because he has a lot of mannerisms, a lot of things he does with his hands, a lot of things he does with his ring, and just the way he talks and certain words that he drags out. You know, I wanted to make sure that my performance was as accurate as possible. And the guy who it was actually the creator of House of Cards who commented on the show and said, "This is pretty great. Nice job, kids, and happy holidays from everyone at House of Cards." That was from Bo Willimon. He was the creator of House of Cards.
You know, I'm just thinking now, and again, I'm a big House of Cards fan myself. I'm just thinking now, they're still writing that show. I wouldn't be surprised if it's somewhere down the road they put in a flashback to Frank's high school years and give you a call.
I'm waiting. That'd be awesome, man. You never know. I mean, especially in this industry, you never know. I mean, there are so many possibilities. So, I mean, hey, I am A-okay with that.
You're doing a lot of work now as an actor, but as you mentioned in the beginning, you started in stop-motion filmmaking as a director. Is that something you still want to do, to direct, or is acting the direction you want to go in for now?
Oh, no, directing is definitely one of my biggest goals, because I'm also a writer, so, you know, for me, I'm using, you know, I love being in front of the camera, and I love playing these awesome characters and all this, but as well, I have my own stories that I want to tell as well. And, you know, so I'm just really taking my time and hoping that in the future, you know, my passion for acting and my success in acting will aid me in being able to tell those stories by directing and writing my own stuff as well.
So you're a triple threat is what you're saying.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I've always, you know, I love every aspect of filmmaking. I love the cinematography. I love the writing aspect. I love the directing aspect. I love the sound aspect. I mean, I try to teach myself every aspect of it I can so that I can be prepared for whatever, you know, I do end up doing as well besides acting.
Okay, so since you want to plot your own destiny and you write and direct, you could write yourself your own role. What to you in this, you know, young career so far, but what to you is the ultimate possibility of a Reed Miller role?
Oh, man. There's one role that they are going to be probably casting soon that I would have to say, and that would be Shazam, which is a DC superhero. I could totally see myself playing Billy Batson. So to answer your question, Shazam, like, without a doubt, I've been like showcasing myself for that role for quite a while since I first started acting. It's been a dream job to play that character. So who knows?
Well, you've been very ambitious, and as I said, I've watched Playhouse of Cards. You're very convincing as a young Frank Underwood, so I don't doubt that you'll get what you want.
Well, thank you so much. I really do appreciate that. I'm glad you're. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Oh, it's a lot of fun. And again, that's on YouTube. How can people find Play by Play, the coming of age ESPN sportscaster show that you're doing?
Okay, so Go 90 it's a free app. As far as I know, it's still free, and you can download it like YouTube or download it like Netflix on your phone, and just. You go on Go 90 and search Play by Play, and it might even be on the front page. It's where it's been. But you can also go on your computer. You can find it on the Roku. You can find it on your Apple TV. And you can also AirPlay it to your TV if you don't have any of that. But and Chromecast as well. And it's all free. And it's free to get a... To get an account, and I don't even think you need to get an account if you watch it on your computer. Just the views and the likes and the comments go a very long way. So But yeah, no, it seems to be getting a lot of good feedback, and that's really exciting to see. So I hope that more people come in and they enjoy it as much as everyone else seems to.
Well, as I said, you're very, very busy. You're certainly off to a great start, and we're going to keep watching your career because there's still only up to go as far as I'm concerned. It's amazing stuff you've done so far.
Well, thank you so much. I really do appreciate that. Thank you.
Thanks for being on the program, Reed.
Yeah, of course. Thank you for having me. This was fun.
Actor Reed Miller. You can go to my website at thestufffile.com, check out the show number for this program, which is show number 0416, and you'll find links to Reed's website. For our American audience, there is a link to Go 90, which is currently not available here in Canada. I've also put in the YouTube link to his high school take on Frank Underwood in Playhouse of Cards, the web series, which, by the way, is great. You got to check that out. You're listening to The Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder.
I'm Bob DiRigo-Jones, and this is Let's Be Fair. Question: if you could choose between being paid what you earn now or being paid nearly 100% more for doing the exact same job, which would you choose? Of course, we'd all choose more. There are many things that influence how much we earn, and one of them is the growth rate of our national economy. Between the end of World War II and 2007, the American economy grew at an average annual rate of 3.5%. However, in the 10 years since then, the average annual growth rate has barely topped 2%. How much difference does that make? Well, if our economy had grown at only 2% a year since World War II, today's average household income of $50,000 would only be about half of that, or $26,000. Let's be fair, our ability to stimulate economic growth today will determine how much our children and grandchildren earn years from now. The question now is, will they thank us or blame us? Learn more. Visit our website at centerforamericatv.org.
You're experiencing the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder. Sit back, relax, let it rattle around between your ears, tickling your cerebellum, and enjoy.
And still to come on the program, we'll talk to the owner of the Clown Motel. He's about to sell his motel after 22 years. We also have an idiot of the day coming your way a little later on, but first we've got a few more Stuff File news stories that I want to share with you here on a program that is listener-supported, fan-funded radio that depends on you for our success. Join us at patreon.com to help make this show an even bigger and better radio experience. Well, two women in Arlington, Texas, called police for help on July the 10th as a mentally ill man doused himself with gasoline in preparation to commit suicide. When responding officers began talking with the distraught man, he poured more gasoline on himself and appeared to be holding a lighter in his hand. Hoping to subdue him, one of the officers used his taser on the man. Now, I'm assuming that unlike the officer involved, you have enough knowledge of high school science to know what happened next. The gasoline ignited, engulfing him in flames. Officers wrapped him in blankets and removed him from the house. The family reports he was severely burned, and at press time, he is in critical condition. Now, unlike most stories you hear about in the media, I'm not one to jump on the bandwagon to blame police on stories that make the headlines. On the contrary, I'm often on their side. But seriously, a guy is doused in gasoline and you want to subdue him with a taser? Do you understand the concept here, Sparky? There is no way you were at the top of your class at the academy. No way. I almost wanted to make him the idiot of the day, but I didn't. That comes later on the program. Stay tuned for that. Police in Slidell, Louisiana, stopped a car full of drunks on July the 8th and arrested the driver for driving while intoxicated. The car's passengers rode home in a taxi, but one of the women then drove back to the police station to bail out the driver. Slidell officers arrested the woman for DWI, and she joined her friend in jail. Lesson of the day, Slidell officers posted on their Facebook page: don't drive drunk to a police station in order to bail out your drunk friend. Valuable words to live by. Very valuable words. Anyway, let's get to our last guest here on this edition of the Stuff File program, shall we? For the last 22 years, Bob Perchetti has run the Clown Motel in a small Nevada town. The motel, which features shelf upon shelf of clown figurines, with every room being clown-themed, is located next to a historic cemetery. Some have referred to it as America's Scariest Motel. Well, that motel is now up for sale, and owner Bob Perchetti is on the line with us right now from Nevada. Hi, Bob.
How are you doing? I'm right here.
Thanks for being on the program with us. 22 years you've owned this motel, so obvious first question. And second question, why did you buy it 22 years ago, and why are you selling it now?
Well, first reason why I bought it, I just retired from the state. I'd worked for the state of Nevada for 31 years. I was director of the Tonopah Convention Center for 26 of those years. And so I retired in August of 94, and I took over the motel. A year and a half later, I took the motel over, and I've been here ever since, from 94 until 2017. And the reason I decided to sell the motel is when I retired, I was 56, if I remember right, and I have just turned 79. I've been here 22 years. I was born July 21st, 1938, and I have five daughters, three sons, and 14 grandchildren. So I thought, you know what, Bob, if you want to enjoy any of your life before you get too old, and want to enjoy your grandkids, you better hang it up and have some more time on your hands to spend with them.
Now, has the Clown Motel always been the Clown Motel, or was it something you turned it into when you got your hands on it 22 years ago?
No, it's always been the Clown Motel. The man that built the motel, his name was Leroy David. He had two rooms full of clowns in his Las Vegas home. And he and his sister decided to build it, the Clown Motel, bring the clowns up and put them in the lobby. It's really different because it's really a historic mining town. And so the last place you'd think you'd see a Clown Motel is in a mining town. But it's been the Clown Motel from day one. All the decor, all the signage, everything was with the Clown Motel theme.
And I understand over the years you've had it, you've collected more than 600 clown items from all over the world?
Yeah, that's true. I've actually collected about between 450 and 500. Leroy had a few clowns when I took the motel over. And so then I've just added to the collection. I went to yard sales. I went to estate sales. I got clowns that have been sent from me from all over the world. A lot of clowns came in from Europe and China, a lot from Canada and Mexico, so I've got clowns from everywhere.
Now, you know some people are freaked out by clowns, so what do you say to people when, you know, they find out, or what do they say to you when they find out that you run the Clown Motel? Are they creeped out about it? Are they intrigued about it? What's the usual response?
There's very few people that are actually freaked out about it. Most people are, even the ones that are afraid of clowns, they kind of make a turnaround and they say, you know, we want to come there because I want to see if I can go in there and test my fears by going in the motel and being around 600 clowns and see what happens. I've had people that come in and get anxiety, and I'd have to take the registration form out, so I'd have them fill it out. I'd have to cover up the pictures in the rooms because I got clown pictures in the rooms. And so they find that, and usually when they spend a night here, nothing's happened. So they seem to be pretty pleased, and they want to come back again.
The obvious question I have to ask is, do you often get clowns who stay at the Clown Motel?
Oh, all the time. We get more and more of them now. Since the last 6 months to a year, we've got more and more. It's funny, people come into the office and hand me a card, and if they didn't hand me a card, then I realize that they're a professional clown or they've been around clowns. Then about 2 hours later, they come out in full dress, been putting 2 hours of putting clown outfits on, and they take pictures all over the clown, pictures with me, and they're just in hog heaven. They just think that's wonderful.
Is there a clown discount?
A clown discount? Actually, not really. I usually give them a nose, and sometimes I have clown groups that come to town for parades, and I give them free rooms. But that's about the only thing I've given actually for clowns.
Okay. Now, as I said in the introduction, not only is it a clown-themed motel, but you're also next door to a cemetery. Tell us about the cemetery.
Well, the cemetery, Tonopah is only 117 years old. It was discovered, silver discovered here in May of 1900, a guy by the name of Jim Butler. And in 1970, I actually started Jim Butler Days. It was my idea to start it. And the cemetery was from 1900 to 1911. And there were 17 miners killed in the Belmont Fire, and they're all buried there. And Leroy David's dad, Clarence, is dead and buried in the cemetery. And that's one of the reasons why Leroy and Leona wanted to build a clown motel here, because their dad, Clarence's, was one of the miners in the fire. So we have a lot of people that come in, a lot of paranormals come in there, and they want to go out in the cemetery at night. And when they go out there, they seem to find things happen out there. They tell me they it's a great place to go, and that's where they hear the most weird things out there in the cemetery.
Have you heard anything or seen anything weird in the 22 years you've owned the place?
You know what? I have never seen a clown ghost or a ghost in the motel. I've had people come in and say, I woke up last night and there was a life-size clown, the one that was in Ghost Adventures, standing in front of my bed. And he says, I just kind of brushed the sleep out of my eyes and there he was gone. So I've had people say that they've seen things happen. A couple times I've had people say that they had the curtains that were just open a little way, like a foot, and there was a clown looking through the window at them. So things happen like that, but a lot of it has to do with their imagination and their nightmares, I think.
In addition to people's imaginations, however, there is something that's going on nowadays which is kind of unnerving, and as you know, there are people who are running around in various cities and various communities dressed as clowns just to scare or terrorize people. Have you ever had people coming by as pranksters who tried to pull those kind of stunts around your clown theme museum?
No, actually, when that came out back east, and I had people come in and say, are you seeing any of that here in Tonopah in Nevada? And I says, we've never seen nothing like that here at the clown. There's never been any weird clowns coming up and trying to scare people. It's pretty bad back east. That's been about a year ago now or something like that. But no, it never has. We never had that here in Tonopah or at the Clown Motel. Never saw any of that.
Now that the Clown Motel is up for sale, are you getting a lot of responses, a lot of inquiries, either locally or abroad, from people who are interested in perhaps purchasing the motel?
Well, mostly I'm getting from Vegas and abroad. I've got a list of people here that I've been gone for 5 days, 6 days. So I've got a list of people I've got to call and check on them and see what's going on. I have a very, very serious client that would like to buy the Clown Motel from Hong Kong. He drove up here from Vegas with his children, took a lot of pictures of the motel, said he wanted to buy it for his son who's going to go to college in the United States. And so he's been checking me with me every day. And I hope he gets it, because I told him, I said, I don't want to change the theme. I want to see something, somebody grab it and run with it, make it into a bigger attraction and much more of an attraction than it is now.
Well, I was about to ask, are you getting any kind of guarantees that they won't change the theme of the motel, or?
Well, I think, after talking to my attorney, I think that we can probably almost put that in the contract, that we insist that they keep it the Clown Motel, don't change the name. And, you know, if I was going to stay here another year, I was just going to put in, I have a big piece of property right next to the clown on the north side. I was going to put in a mini golf down there with a clown theme, all clown theme. You could do a great lot of things with that all clown theme. It costs some money, but I think it would be real popular.
Do the staff at your motel wear clown outfits?
No, they don't. Once in a while, we put them on for a parade or something. But they're all good people, and they understand where we're coming from. They're very polite to people. And they take them both, the good and the bad. They take the ones that are very pretty clowns and the ones that are just happy to be here. I just had a young girl whose mother works at the bank came down here, and that was her biggest wish, more than anything else, her biggest wish to come to the Clown Motel. And they took pictures of her all over the clown, and she just absolutely just completely infatuated with the Clown Motel.
Now, I know you say you've got a large family and you've got a lot of grandkids you want to spend more time with, but when all is said and done and you sell the Clown Motel, what is it about it you're going to miss the most?
Well, you know, because I've been collecting clowns so long, far and wide, in four or five different states, and them sent to me, I'm actually getting accustomed to them. I'm going to miss the clowns. I look at them every day. I see them all during my every day that I work in town. I'm here at the Clown Motel, and they've become part of my life. So I'm never going to live here. I have a house that's paid for. I'm going to stay right in that same place. But I'll probably just be from habit to come down here every day, have a cup of coffee, and say hello to my clowns.
You don't have any clown memorabilia at home?
Yeah, I have a little bit. I got a clown hanging from my mirror in my truck, and I have a few pictures at the house. But most everything's down here.
Well, it certainly is a unique location. It's the Clown Motel in, is it Tonopah?
Yeah, Tonopah. That's a Shoshone word meaning little brush, little water.
Little brush, little water.
Little brush, little water. 521 North Main Street.
Bob, thank you very much for taking the time to talk with us.
Peter, thank you very much. That was I enjoyed that. And anything you need, if you get any calls in and they have any questions, I have no problem talking to people. So thanks a lot, Peter. I appreciate that.
Bob Perchetti, owner of the Clown Motel in Nevada. It's up for sale if you're interested. You're listening to the Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder. Time now for the Idiot of the Day.
And now it's time for the strange things adults do. The Stuff File presents the Idiot of the Day.
A police officer was surprised to see a robber trying to steal his cruiser while he was sitting inside the vehicle. Fort Pierce police said that they have arrested 20-year-old Aaron Rodriguez III after being accused of getting into the police car and trying to drive it to his home. According to the police investigation, Rodriguez wanted to get to his home but did not want to walk. He went to the Fort Pierce police station parking lot and checked for unlocked doors. He approached a police car with an officer inside, opened the door, and sat in the cruiser. When the police officer asked what he was doing, Rodriguez ran out of the vehicle and ran across the parking lot. He then tried to hide behind another police car. Rodriguez was detained, and during a search, a pipe with marijuana residue was found in his pants. Rodriguez has been charged with grand theft of a motor vehicle, loitering, and possession of drug equipment. Okay. What I want to know is, if he didn't want to walk home, was it his intent to steal a cruiser and then park it in front of his house? I mean, why? Oh, why would you want to steal a police cruiser to go home? And more importantly, why wouldn't you check to see if a police officer was actually in the car you were trying to steal? Well, one reason, and one reason only. You're an idiot!
Gee, I'm only a kid, but even I know you're an idiot.
And that's it for this edition of the Stuff File program, number 0416. Hope you enjoyed it. The website is thestufffile.com, and once again, stuff is spelled S-T-U-P-H, where you'll find information and links and all of our guests by going to the weekly Stuff File page. Just look for the corresponding program number, and once again, that's 0416. Email me at peter@thestufffile.com. You can also find me on Facebook and Twitter as P.A. Holder, and don't forget to check us out on Patreon.com, where you can become a patron of the program. Hope to see you back here for our next show on the air, online, or as a download. We're coming to you from everywhere, including CyberStationUSA.com, GDPR Evolution 99, KDXRadio.com, AirChecker, Canada's number one radio source, PCJ Radio International and its partner stations, TrueTalkRadio.com, downloaded on iTunes, streaming on Stitcher, and over the air on World FM in New Zealand, MediaCorp in Singapore, and WSTJ in St. Johnsbury, Vermont. That's it. See you next time. Bye-bye.
Been listening to the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder, a presentation of Flying Fish Communications. The Stuff File reminds you never try to drown your sorrows. They'll just learn to swim anyway.